Sometimes I might come off a little unorthodox in my ways. I've been told that by some of my coworkers and even my family. This morning, I want to bring to light, and we're going to kind of continue this same thought this evening. I had Toby help me out and put together some information for tonight's song service. So men, if you have the opportunity to, please afterward, sign up for that. We need scripture readers, prayers, and song leaders. This year I had decided to set out and do something different. In our men's meetings that we have once a month, we typically had spent time in the beginning of our meetings speaking about spiritual needs and concerns of the church. And I thought, you know, that's a great thing for us to do. That's the thing, that's the work we should be doing. That's what the men ought to be focused upon, is what work needs done here. This year, I thought I want to take that one step further. How many of you have seen the series, and I'm not talking about the newer movies with Tom Cruise, I'm talking about the older series, the Mission Impossible series with, like, Jim Phelps, back from the 60s. Okay, a couple of you have. I enjoy watching that series. It's kind of corny in some ways, but I guess maybe from the 60s or 70s, whenever that was made, long before my time, that was fun to watch that. It was fun to watch that. I enjoyed watching Mr. Phelps work through the impossible missions that they were, his team, Impossible Mission Force, that's what it was. They worked through a myriad of problems. They had to get through a lot of different things to reach the end goal. Well, I thought to play on that a little bit, use a little bit of play on words, and I came up with a Mission Possible series that I wanted to start with the men. I wanted to make a challenge for us, and I wanted to do something that we haven't done collectively as a group before. And my thought and design in doing this was to strengthen the bonds that we have with one another as men, to create godly influences that we can have upon one another as we work to study, work to engage, and work to grow. I find that I get a lot of enjoyment in interaction when I get to work with the people I'm looking at right now. I enjoy getting together with you in Bible studies and with singings, sometimes at our house or at Schoolcraft's house or someone's house. I enjoy that. I enjoy the interaction that I get from you. That strengthens me. That gives me a positivity about life. Knowing that I have brothers and sisters who love the same thing that I love, and that is our Lord. I also thought this would help sharpen us. As iron sharpens iron, we read about. This was a way that I thought we could develop ourselves, to work on one another, to use these different challenges that I'm in the process of still writing, to influence each other. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is influencing one another. You know, there are positive and there are negative influences. I'm really not going to spend a lot of time on negative influences today. It's going to be more of a positive influence lesson. Because I believe these are the ones that we need to focus on. These positive and rewarding influences that we have upon others and that others can have upon us. So I'm going to ask you this question twice. I'll ask you in the beginning and I'll ask you near the end. What kind of influences do you have upon others? And you may think, well, I really don't have any influence upon others. Well, you're wrong. Because everyone in here has an influence upon somebody. Even though we may think we're friendless and we don't have very many friends, you have influences. You have all of us. And you have a definite influence upon one another. I'm going to take an example. And Luke, I'm going to call you out on this. He was my partner for the first month in our little challenge that we had. Yes, little Luke over here was paired up with me. And this was a random thing that we do. Is we choose our partners. I just did a random thing. Just had the guys kind of line up in the aisles and we chose a partner who was across from us. Luke was my partner. we got together that first time, and we talked about some of the things that were in the challenge that I'd wrote up. You know, and Luke and I contacted each other back and forth, even on Snapchat even. Believe it or not, I got a Snapchat account. Easy way to talk with Luke, but it worked. And it was a chance for us to be able to interact with each other, even though we couldn't see each other each day. I can't drive to his house every day, and he doesn't drive yet. So there wasn't a way for us to really get together any other way other than chatting those kinds of ways every other day or so. And we did get together and talk about it in person, which was part of the challenge. Part of the challenge was to make time to get together with your partner in person and spend time with them to get to know them. That wasn't by accident. That's designed within this series. Luke had an influence upon me because, yes, Luke is not even half my age, but he had an influence on me. He encouraged me to do the challenge that I had set for myself to do that month. And I found that very influential and very encouraging to me. So thank you, Luke, for encouraging me. See, younger people can have an influence and effect on older people. So despite what you were thinking before, it does work. Yes, whether you realize it or not, we have an influence on other people. It can be that weird coworker at work that just seems a little bit off. It could be with our mom and dad who can seem a little bit off at times. Or that best friend. We have influences upon the people we're with and we see every day. But how are we using our influence? And this is part of the things I want to talk about today, is how are we using that? You see, the followers of Jesus, we read just a few minutes ago from Mark, Ty did. Jesus started out by influencing others because he chose them. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do today. Instead of being an influence about ourselves, about sometimes what our ideas, our thoughts, our business way of doing things, our philosophies on life, or whatever else it is about us, put that aside. We should be influencing others about Christ and the influence that Christ has had upon us. So, how do we do that? Now, here's where your typical three-point sermon comes into play. How are we going to influence others? First of all, number one, you have to choose them. This has to be an active role. This has to be something you do consciously. It's not something that happens by accident. I did in our Mission Possible series. The only way I could think to make it work was randomly make men choose each other that were standing across from one another. So you're kind of forced in a fashion to choose one another, but you're going to choose someone different each month of the year that we do this. So you'll get to use a different person to use these experiences with and challenge one another. You are, in a sense, choosing someone. Kind of forced to, but you're still choosing someone. As we note in Mark chapter 3, we also see that in Luke chapter 5, Jesus chose his followers. He loved and died for everyone, but he only had 12 disciples. He had many others that spent plenty of time with him. The women spent a lot of time around Mary Magdalene and others, and Julie made that mention to me yesterday and reminded me of that as I was talking with her about this lesson. You know, the women were around Christ all the time. But Jesus chose those 12. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 11 as we read about when Jesus chose his disciples. Luke chapter 5. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood at the lake of Gennesaret and saw the two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he went into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And at this, they had caught, and when they had done this, they had caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners that the other boats come over and help them. And they came and filled the boats, and they began so much so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Think about what they just caught. They caught enough fish that the boats were sinking. And they left all of that and followed him. Jesus chose his disciples. So when it really comes to truly influencing another person for God, we need to first intentionally choose them. And I'm going to challenge you to choose a few certain people. Maybe it is that coworker that you sit next to, whose life we do see God working through them. Maybe there's someone in our church, your church group here, that we need to connect with because they're on the fringe. Maybe you're passionate about kids. Decide to be a mentor to them. Set up a certain time for a certain age group and have them over for pizza, a movie or something. Something to get together to influence them. Time to spend with them. Talk about God's word. Talk about things that are affecting them. Be a mentor to them. You know, the person you choose could be younger than you. Maybe a college student or a junior high student. You could even pick someone the same age. There's nothing wrong with that. Or you could pick someone older, like your boss or your dad or your father-in-law. The options are endless. The point is to pick someone, intentionally pick someone. Intentionally decide to be a part of this person's life. Intentionally choose them to influence them for God. You know, we read of lots of influences in, throughout the Bible, and I would encourage you, and I'm not going to take the time to read it this morning because it's quite lengthy, Numbers 11 through Joshua 1. Where was the influence there? We know it was about Moses. Well, who was he working with throughout that time through Numbers 11 through Joshua 1? Well, he was working with Joshua. Moses knew he wasn't going to be there forever. He couldn't lead all the battles, couldn't do all the things that as they were conquering the land. He gave opportunities for Joshua to show what his abilities were, and he spent a lot of time working with Joshua. He mentored and influenced him for focusing toward the attributes of God and leading God's people. And that way, Joshua knew what was going to be required of him after Moses was gone. Well, part two, what else do you do after you've chosen them? You need to teach them. We need to use our words to teach someone about Jesus if we want to influence them. We can't just choose them and think that's all there is to it. They can watch what I do. We need to use our words. Okay, so this is great, but you might be thinking, well, I'm a fairly new Christian, and how could I ever teach someone else? What abilities do I have? What special power do I have to be able to teach someone else about Christ, about what he has done? Or you may think, well, my life is far from imperfect, which all of us are in that boat. What could I possibly share with someone else to teach them? I'm so imperfect in my ways. I have so many flaws. Surely there's no way for me to be able to teach this other person. Not to mention, I'm only a mechanic. I'm only a banker. I'm only a college student. I'm not a teacher. How can I teach someone? You may be thinking that. Well, if you're thinking that, I'll give you a solution. My response? Don't think of this teaching opportunity as a classroom setting. Just picture that normal everyday conversation. Picture the time that you've chosen to spend with this person. Do not think that you need to be a know-it-all to be able to teach. You know, I find it myself quite hard sometimes to listen to someone who is a know-it-all. Anybody else been in that situation? It's very hard to conceptualize what they're saying or even maybe grasp that I'm just having a really hard time listening to what you're saying because of your know-it-all mentality. I struggle sometimes with that. I learn actually more from a person who's honest about it. Honest about a particular matter that they may not have all the answers, but they are willing to look for you, or they're willing to look with you about it. That, to me, strikes a chord with me a lot more than someone who always has an answer every single time about every single subject that I come to about. That kind of throws me off. Someone who's willing to dig into it, someone who is interested in spending time and devoted into looking into a matter is very good. It's very influential to me. So picture a conversation with a coworker. Maybe a Dunkin' Donuts over coffee. It doesn't have to be anywhere special. It could be in your living room while you're watching a game or even playing a game. A normal conversation that you can sit down and have with this person. And when it comes to what to teach, share with what you have learned about Jesus. Depending on the person's background, depending on if it is that coworker who doesn't know Christ, share what Christ has done for you. Share what his church does for you. Share about his teachings. Share about some of the things that he has done for all of us. Share with him the fact that you're flawed too. That's an important part. Make sure that they know that you have mistakes and you have problems in your life as well. Share with them the opportunities this has opened for you to be able to grow with your church brethren. Share with them your excitement of what Jesus has to offer for them. It's just about being intentional with our words. Each day, using our words to teach someone a few more things that we can share with them about Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Starting in verse 36. An interesting reading here talks about an influence that's being had. Verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. This is Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman at the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed him with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would he not know what manner of woman this is who is touching him? For she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, saying, "Simon, I have something to say to you." He said, "Teacher, say it." He said, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing to which to repay, he freely forgave both of them. Tell me, therefore, which one will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one who he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water from my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. There were some intentional words here given by Jesus. And the influence that he gave at this simple dinner meeting where he came and sat with Simon at his house to have a dinner wasn't what I'm sure Simon had in mind. But it taught him a lesson. And it taught him about forgiveness. It taught him about what real love was. And I think Simon learned something that day by the actions of this woman, how she continually gave and gave and gave. And she was sorrowful for her actions. And how Jesus forgave her. And I hope that gave Simon a little more insight of what forgiveness was really about. So the words I thought that Jesus spoke there were very influential in both of their lives in this simple setting. The third point to influence someone is to show them. We've already seen several examples of this. We saw this just a moment ago in Luke 7. But if we want to influence someone for God in a lasting way, we need to use our actions to show them. Well, practically speaking, how do we do this? It's intentionally living a godly life with these people, those we're trying to influence. Giving these chosen people access to our lives and giving them opportunity to witness examples of how we live for Christ. Paul does an excellent job of this in explaining some things in multiple areas, but we're going to turn today to Philippians chapter 3. You know, Paul had a great way of influencing others a lot through his letters because there just wasn't enough time. He didn't have the means of transportation that we have today to be able to get around and get to these congregations and these churches and all these different areas. So he wrote to them. And he was very influential in his letters to them. And he was able to show them in some of the ways that he had these were chosen words, obviously, but there was more than that. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoiced in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm more so. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, yet I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet I indeed also count things for loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, who I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but from that which is through faith in Jesus, or faith in Christ. The righteousness of which God, by faith, that he may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. not that I have already attained, but I'm already perfected, I press on, that I may hold of which the Lord Jesus Christ laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many are mature, have this mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it even to you. Nevertheless, the degree that which we have attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join me in following my example, and note those who walk as you have for us a pattern. Paul gave a lot of background, and the people at Philippi, the Christians here at Philippi, were not unfamiliar with Paul. He was explaining what kind of life he led before. He let them know what kind of flaws he had. Yet he explained, even I've been through a lot of tough things as well. I count all those things but rubbish to live for Christ. His example set a great example for those at Philippi. And he said there, join in following my example and note those who walk the same as that, which his example was following after Christ. For you have for us a pattern. Well, what is that pattern? The pattern is Christ. So here's something else you can do with those that you want to show. The person that you've chose, the person you're talking with, maybe it's time to sit down with them and pray for this person this week. Or even a crazier idea, something even better. Pray with them. Ask them what's been troubling them. Ask them, can you pray together about the situation? Maybe it's getting together once a week or once a month and just talking with them, showing that example that you are interested in them, you're invested in them, you're giving them that ability to be able to see that. It could be showing them more to read in the Bible, to just read through the Bible with them. Pick a time that you can go either to a coffee place or a time at your home after dinner, have them over for supper on a regular basis, or take them out to Sonic if that's your thing. That's okay. If that's your deal, if that's the way that you want to spend time with them, just make sure that you are showing them you're invested in them and spend this time speaking these words to them. So much of our influence is about being intentional. And it's an intentionally showing others a life that looks like Jesus. It's through our actions, it's through our words and our attitudes, and it's through our lives. So using every ounce of influence we have to show them about God. Go ahead and pull out your psalm books. Open up to number 650. I'm still going to ask you, who are you influencing? Take a serious thought at that. Who are you influencing? Is it your children? Do you speak ill about others after we leave this place because of something they've said or done? What kind of influence does that put upon your children? Do you speak positively about the experience you just had here this morning? Praising and worshiping God, which is where our focus should be. What kind of influence do we put on our children? We are influencing others around us, so don't think for a minute that you're not. Ask yourself, what two or four or more people are you influencing in your life right now, other than who's sitting next to you or across from you? We need to have this kind of influence in the world. This is why Christ made his disciples, to go out and teach others. How do we make disciples? We choose them, we teach them, we show them.